Chapter 135. The Chase. Third Day. The morning of the third day dawned, fair and fresh, and once more the solitary nightman at the foremasthead was relieved by crowds of the daylight lookouts who dotted every mast and almost every spar. "Do you see him?" cried Ahab, but the whale was not yet in sight. "In his infallible wake, though, but follow that wake, that's all. Helm there, steady as thou goest and hast been going. What a lovely day again. We're at a new-made world and made for a summer-house to the angels, and this morning the first of its throwing open to them, a fairer day could not dawn upon that world. Here's food for thought. Had Ahab time to think? But Ahab never thinks. He only feels, feels, feels. That's tingling enough for mortal man, to think's audacity. God only has that right and privilege. Thinking is, or ought to be, a coolness and a calmness, and our poor hearts throb and our poor brains beat too much for that. And yet, I've sometimes thought my brain was very calm, frozen calm. This old skull cracks so like a glass in which the contents turn to ice and shiver it. And still this hair is growing now. This moment growing, and heat must breed it. But no, it's like that sort of common grass that will grow anywhere between the earthly clefts of Greenland ice or in Vesuvius lava. How the wild winds blow it! They whip it about me as the torn shreds of split sails lash the tossed ship they cling to. A vile wind that has no doubt blown ere this through prison corridors and cells and wards of hospitals and ventilated them, and now comes blowing hither as innocent as fleeces. Out upon it, it's tainted. Were I the wind, I'd blow no more on such a wicked, miserable world. I'd crawl somewhere to a cave and slink there. And yet 'tis a noble and heroic thing, the wind. Whoever conquered it? In every fight it has the last and bitterest blow. Run tilting at it, and you but run through it. Ha ha! A coward wind that strikes stark naked men, but will not stand to receive a single blow. Even Ahab is a braver thing and nobler thing than that. Would now the wind but had a body! But all the things that most exasperate and outrage mortal man, all these things are bodiless, but only bodiless as objects, not as agents. There's a most special, a most cunning, oh, a most malicious difference. And yet, I say again and swear it now, that there's something all glorious and gracious in the wind. These warm trade winds, at least, that in the clear heavens blow straight on in strong and steadfast vigorous mildness, and veer not from their mark, however the baser currents of the sea may turn and tack, and mightiest Mississippis of the land shift and swerve about, uncertain where to go at last. And by the eternal poles, these same trades that so directly blow my good ship on, these trades, or something like them, something so unchangeable and full as strong, blow my keeled soul along. To it! Aloft there! What do you see?
Nothing, sir!
Nothing! And noon at hand! The doubloon goes a-begging! See the sun! Aye, aye! It must be so. I've oversailed him. How? Got the start? Aye, he's chasing me now, not I him. That's bad. I might have known it, too. Fool! The lines, the harpoons he's towing. Aye, aye, I've run him by last night. About! About! Come down, all of you, but the regular lookouts. Man the braces!
Steering as she had done, the wind had been somewhat on the Pequod's quarter, so that now being pointed in the reverse direction, the braced ship sailed hard upon the breeze as she rechurned the cream in her own white wake. "Against the wind he now steers for the open jaw," murmured Starbuck to himself, as he coiled the new-hauled main brace upon the rail. "God keep us! But already my bones feel damp within me, and from the inside wet my flesh. I misdoubt me that I disobey my God in obeying him."
"Stand by to sway me up," cried Ahab, advancing to the hempen basket. "We should meet him soon."
"Aye, aye, sir." And straightway Starbuck did Ahab's bidding, and once more Ahab swung on high.